Welcome to the Life Church Auburn Hills Sermon Podcast. We're a multicultural community being transformed and empowered by the grace, truth, and love of Jesus. We hope that you are encouraged and challenged by this week's message.
My name's Cam Underdown. I'm the co-planter here at Life Church Auburn Hills, and what that means is I try to do everything possible to help this community launch well and become a community that's going to be around for a long time to accomplish all that God wants to do through us. It's been since 2017, actually, when Don Earl, who you guys saw here giving announcements, and myself started talking and actually committing to establishing this church that you're sitting in. So it's so fun to be here over 2 years later and just to have such an incredible, loving, welcoming, fun community to be a part of. I don't get to do this very often, okay? Normally, I'm doing all sorts of other things like trying to organize trailers and getting this place set up and tech. And, you know, I feel a little bit out of place because normally I'm back there looking up here, especially looking at Don Earl and critiquing him and saying, oh my gosh, why is he talking about Elsa? That was awesome, though. I did appreciate her. She is a philosopher. And as Don Earl mentioned, we're in this series right now called 3C Friendships. Okay, and I am so excited. I wasn't even behind the tech table last week. I was right where y'all are sitting, and I had my heart like pounding out of my chest. I was so excited because this series and what we're talking about, I think, is simple but so profound that it's going to have some really far-reaching implications. It's going to have worldwide impact, and I really believe that, what we're learning here right now. And in case I haven't done a good job of explaining how excited I am, all right, I want to try to give you a picture of what's inside me when I'm talking about how excited I am, all right? Can we show that picture? Yeah. That's my daughter, Marguerite, okay? That's her on Christmas morning. I don't know which one she opened. I think it was like something for her American Girl doll. That's how I feel when we're talking about 3C friendships. So just in case you want to know what's going on in me right now, I'm like, oh my gosh, can't wait to talk about this, can't wait to see the kind of friendships that are going to form out of this. Some of you maybe wondering why I'm so excited. Some of you may be wondering, what is a 3C friendship? I'm here for the first time. I have no idea what this dude's talking about. Let's see if we can get this down, because we've been talking about this just a little bit, all right? 3C friendships, okay? Anybody know the first C of 3C friendships? You can shout it out. Committed. Got it? Perfect. You guys will see if you're right on the screen behind me, all right? Next C, you can shout them out too. Cross-cultural, all right? And the third one, Christ-centered. I love that. Thank you so much for doing that. Just one more thing in case you never knew this about me is I was never that great at sports. I was this triple threat combo of like kind of small and not very strong and also really slow. You know, normally like the small kid's like, oh, but at least he's fast. I was the slowest person on all the teams. But I don't want to speak too positively about myself, but I was smart, so smart that my greatest athletic achievement is a fourth place finish in junior varsity quiz bowl as the captain of that team, okay? So thank you. Just want to make sure that you all knew that and can celebrate that at home. Before we dive into talking about 3C friendships today, I would like to take a moment and pray. So if you bow your heads with me, Jesus, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for bringing all these brave souls here, for giving them the strength to scrape their windshields and their doors and open, and also to make it here safely. Jesus, I believe that you are present here through the power of your Holy Spirit. And that it is through the power of your Holy Spirit that you are going to speak to each one of us today about something that I think is so close to your heart that I hope, again, when people look back, they look back to this series in January of 2020 at Life Church Auburn Hills and say, because I was there, my life is different now and different for the better. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we know a little bit about what 3C friendships are, but we've got to go back just a little bit. Okay? Now, this idea of 3C friendships, we're talking about building committed, cross-cultural, Christ-centered friendships. I want you to think about this like cardinal directions on a compass. All right? This is like north, south, east, west kind of stuff. All right? What we're talking about are principles that tell us, are we going in the general direction of where we hope to head? Okay? What we're not trying to do is give you a GPS, okay? We're not trying to give you turn-by-turn navigation of exactly how to start one of these friendships, have one of these friendships. You don't have to look around, oh my gosh, am I doing it right? We're trying to give you some principles, again, just to have in your mind to say, you know what? I think I'm moving in the right direction. I think this is where I'm supposed to go. I think this is the next question I'm supposed to ask, the next step I want to take. Essentially, what we were hoping to do here is provide the basics of beginning 3C friendships, not the definitive guide. Because in all honesty, there is no definitive guide. Each relationship is different. Each relationship is unique. And as a result, each relationship is beautiful. So I want to do a little bit of review as well, because in case you weren't here last week, you missed some really important ideas that I think will help you as we dive into talking about what a committed friendship looks like, okay? And that's my job today, is talk about that sea of committed. But before we do that, these are some of the things from last week. And these are why 3C friendships are so important. So when these three elements, when being committed and cross-cultural and Christ-centered is present in a friendship, the resulting relationship becomes a building block that God can use to establish his kingdom on earth. All right? We really believe that here. I really believe that here. You know who else believes it? God believes it. That was what we were talking about so much last week, is this is not our idea. We didn't come up with this. This is God's idea. So if you look at the bottom, you can take pictures, you can take little notes if you want. This is the scripture that from the Bible that really undergirds this whole idea of that these relationships can become building blocks that God can use to establish his kingdom on earth. It's John 15:12-17, if you want to read that later. Next is that 3C friendships are a current preview of God's plan for his future kingdom. That's from Revelation 7:9-10. And Donald did a beautiful job of describing that last week. He talked about it kind of like the picture on the puzzle box, right? We've got all these different pieces that we're trying to sift through and put together and see how they work. But Revelation 7:9-10 is kind of that picture on the box that helps us know, you know what? It's starting to look like that, all right? Finally, 3C friendships are essential to the gospel because they connect people together in order to reflect God's original design for humanity. And that's from Ephesians 2:14-20. Okay? And maybe most importantly, this is something that is so foundational to our understanding here. 3C friendships are not just a passion for diversity. Okay? But they represent a passion for the gospel. We believe that 3C friendships are essential to the actual gospel message. And in case you're out there and you're like I was so many years ago now, it feels crazy that 12 years ago, if I was sitting here, I would have been like, what's the gospel? I don't know what that is. Because 12 years ago, I was an outspoken and angry atheist who wanted to make sure that everybody knew that God was a myth, that he couldn't really help you, that he wasn't real, he was a crutch because you're weak. That's what I used to believe, and that's what I used to try to say to people. But in reality, the gospel is just simply this. It's Jesus, okay? Jesus Christ, who walked the earth 2,000 years ago, lived in modern-day Israel. It's his life and death and resurrection, because in him, he is God. He came as God. And what he did was he came to bring and reestablish God's original design here on earth. And then to establish a new heaven and a new earth as a result. You don't have to know a lot to know that our world is broken. Okay? If you don't believe me just saying it, you can look on any news source. You can look at the last week, okay? Maybe you feel it after the holidays and maybe the fights that went on and the struggles that you had with your family members. Maybe there's been lost friendships in your life. We all have pain. All of this, that was not in God's original design. That's the brokenness that entered the world as a result of human beings rejecting God's original design. And the gospel, simply put, is Jesus saying, you know what? We're going to reverse that. We're going to stop and we're going to go back in the direction that I originally intended, that God originally intended. And so, how we're hoping for this community to live out this message of going back in the original way that God intended is to do one simple, profound, yet difficult thing, okay? It's to build one more 3C friendship in 2020, okay? Some of you have already experienced the beauty of these kinds of friendships in your lives. Some of you could come up here and do a much better job about talking about the value of 3C friendships in your life more than I can. Honestly, that's the case. Some of you are in this room because of one of these friendships. You just might not know it yet. Some of you are wondering, do I have one of these friendships? I'm not even sure. This year, whether it's the first friendship that you have of this kind, the 25th friendship that you have of this kind, we're looking for you to have one more. One more of these kinds of friendships in your life. So, let's go back to that slide where it says, what are 3C friendships, right? Committed, cross-cultural, Christ-centered. Today, our focus is on this word, committed. Okay? Committed. And why I brought up Jesus is because Jesus is the one who shows us how to have these kinds of relationships. He's the one that we want to pattern ourselves after. He's the one who did this over and over and over and built these kind of relationships and built these kind of relationships into this global network of people that we call the church that has lasted for over 2,000 years and now comprises more than 2 billion living people. It's amazing. I thought I almost heard a clap, but I think it was the AC. All right. It's amazing. It's amazing. How did he do that? He never ventured more than 30 miles from his house. How did he do it? He started 3C friendships. And this is how he did it, okay? Again, we're looking at these passages in John 15, 12 through 17. We're going to zero in on what it means to be committed. This is how Jesus describes the essence of commitment. He says this, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Listen to that again. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Perfect. It's amazing how he does that. It's the essence of commitment, for me to lay down my life for a friend. Now, here's the thing. In America, at least how I grew up, coming from my own cultural background, the idea of laying down one's life for a friend looked like stepping in front of a bus, okay? Or it may be more reflected in the phrase, I'd take a bullet for that person. I'd die for that person. Or maybe it looked like someone you knew who was sick and they needed like an organ transplant and you were like, okay, I'll give a kidney for that person, all right? That's the ideas that I grew up with that looked like laying down one's life. And actually, those are plenty legitimate. But it's interesting. Those are all very like extreme examples. They're all very immediate. They're almost like heroic. And this verb to lay down one's life, yeah, it's in there. That definition is in there. But there's also this aspect in that definition of this verb to lay down. The Greek phrase is tithemi. And it's basically to like lay out a food tray. All right? So Don Earl was talking, right? We're having this big Super Bowl party here. We had a big Super Bowl party last year. It was so big that we weren't ready for how big it was. We ran out of chairs. There's some people in this church who will not be happy that I'm about to say what I'm about to say. We ran out of space so bad that we had an information table up in that corner, okay, with our like beautiful like mosaic rainbow tablecloth, the one you kind of pass on the way in at our welcome table, and you had like 8 people eating on it, eating fried chicken on that table, and there were grease stains in it. And thankfully, there are some incredible people here at Life Church Auburn Hills who saw that, like, can I take this home and try to get these stains out? They did an amazing job. All right, that's how packed out this place was. You know why? Because we laid out a table. We didn't just lay out a food tray. We laid out trays, plural with a Z, whatever. All right, like, we had trays after tray after tray after tray of food, and it was all gone by the end. All right, so, I mean, you know, it was fantastic. This idea is such a beautiful picture of what it means to lay down one's life. It means to basically lay out everything we have and say, you can sample, you can sample, you can take whatever it is. Yes, is laying down one's life sometimes a very heroic, immediate action? Yes. But often laying down one's life looks like this. Carrying this food tray with this food and saying, here, take it. Take something off of it. Take what you choose. And doing it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Personally, I want to be at the person's house who has the best food and the most food for the Super Bowl. All right? That's why we try to make that happen here, because I, you know, as we do it for the church, like I can't be at someone's house, so I don't get to choose anymore. I'm like, I got to be the one, all right, to try to plan that. If you're interested in helping plan, you can come talk to me after the service. But there's a truth here that's so, so valuable, and it's this. As a committed friend, my concern is to earn your trust. Okay? As a committed friend, my concern is to earn your trust. That's why I try to throw great Super Bowl parties, because I want to earn your trust. The person who throws the best Super Bowl party is often the person who has earned your trust. Sometimes you get invited to one, you're like, no. I think we're busy that night. The kids are sick. Actually, we're going over to Johnny's place, because Johnny's got the best food, and we wouldn't miss it. Okay? The people who do that kind of laying of their life down, especially to such a high degree, those are the people that you wind up trusting. Now, Jesus is the one, again, who gives us this definitive guide. Okay? He says the ultimate phrase of greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. But here's what I want to do together today. I want to go on a little journey through the last week of Jesus' life to see how he lives this phrase out. Okay? And not just this phrase, but there's actually three ways in particular that he shows us how to earn trust with each other. And they're this. The first is to be aware of my shortcomings. All right, think about that. To be aware of my shortcomings. We're going to look at a passage from Jesus' life, again, the last week of his life, where he's going to show us how he does that. The second is to be honest in my communication. And then the third is to be available when I am called. Be aware of my shortcomings, be honest in my communication, be available when I am called. If we live out these three little sentences, these little phrases, we're going to earn trust and we're going to be able to build committed friendships. So, Jesus says this ultimate phrase, right? Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. He says it at a really interesting time. He says it within 24 hours of his death. He says it while he's having this very special meal, the Passover meal, the Super Bowl of Jewish culture, if you will. That one didn't land. All right. It's not the Super Bowl of Jewish culture, but it's really, really important. Okay? It would have been so important. It would have been so exciting because, and you would have been in the homes of family and friends. Jesus knows that he's about to die. He knows that the next day he's going to be handed over and he's going to be crucified. He knows this, but yet he desires to have this meal with his friends. It's like his last meal. It's like his last chance to have this moment with these people who are so important to him, with these 12 really close friends, the ones that were chosen followers that he was entrusting his whole life, his whole ministry to, and not only that, who he just felt this deep, deep closeness with. Okay? Now, it says, right, being aware of my shortcomings. If you know anything about Jesus, the man didn't have shortcomings, but he was aware of potential shortcomings. We all have shortcomings that we need to be aware of, but Jesus was aware of potential shortcomings. Okay? I want to go back just a little bit before this evening. We're going to get to him actually sharing this meal, but I want to go back a little bit before. Could you imagine the last week of your life if you knew that at the end of it, you were going to die? Not only that, maybe you knew you were going to die. Not only that, you have people launching all sorts of plots, people like getting ready to betray you, people fighting you, being angry with you in the streets, people are coming to you trying to get healed. I mean, it's chaos for the man. He's in Jerusalem. It's the Passover feast. There are people from all over the world who have now gathered together. And you know who they're talking about? Jesus. His name had already spread. His life is crazy. And yet, there's this fun little passage in Luke 22, starting in verse 7, that I think is just so interesting. Okay? This would be maybe a day or two before the actual Passover meal. It says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, two of these 12 friends that he had, saying, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.' 'Where do you want us to prepare it?' they asked. He replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks, "Where's the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. Seems pretty cool. Seems pretty, you know, just trying to like help us understand all the stuff that was going on. The man was about to die. And he knew it. There were people trying to launch plots on his life, and he makes reservations. Like, what? He's making reservations? They found it exactly as he said. He'd already planned it. He was aware of the shortcoming. Do you know what the shortcoming would have been? To not celebrate this meal, okay? to not celebrate this meal, I mean, again, it would be like not celebrating the Super Bowl in a way for some people. It's like you just can't think of it. It's a tradition. It's part of life. It reminds you of who you are as a Jewish person because it's the celebration of God leading all of Israel captive in slavery out of Egypt centuries before. It was the most important. Jesus had every right in my mind to be like, you know what, this year, guys, I'm just not going to celebrate the Passover. Got a couple things going on. It's a little stressed out. Like, it's hard right now. He could have responded with resentment and been like, do you know what I'm going through? Go get it together. You guys know how to throw Passover? Go figure it out. Tell me where. But no, what did he do? Man-made reservations. He was aware of the potential shortcoming, and he planned ahead to be able to meet it. This is one way we build trust with each other. It's how we earn trust. It's to be aware of our own shortcomings and then plan so that we don't fall into them and we don't hurt other people in the process. When I spoke last, it was back in September, and I talked about my journey with addiction. Okay, it was a journey into not only pornography addiction, but also, I don't know if I mentioned this, but as I've been in this journey with a therapist for the last year and a half, I've discovered that I have other compulsive behaviors that make life difficult, not only for me, but especially in earning trust with people, one of them being codependency, which is basically this desire to come in and rescue things and be responsible for things and people that I'm not actually responsible for. It's a shortcoming. It's a shortcoming. And if I'm not careful, that shortcoming can run my life, and then it can start affecting my wife and my children and all the people that I care about, and it can start to diminish trust. So that's why I go to therapy, because I'm aware. I didn't know what it was at first, but I knew something was wrong. I knew I lived life in a really unhealthy way. I knew I lived it in this kind of chaotic way. And I knew that I couldn't keep going like that much longer. And so I got help. In terms of addictions, there's a few meetings in my week that I just won't cancel, no matter what. One of them is a step study, like a 12-step, where I go and talk about triggers and things that might send me back into addictive behaviors. Another is meeting with a mentor who knows me. In both those kinds of places, I can confess what's going on, and I can move forward. That's how I at least plan ahead for some of my shortcomings, but I'm aware. And the more aware I've become, crazy thing, I used to think that the more aware I was of my shortcomings, the more aware everybody else would be of my shortcomings, and the less they'd trust me, but it's been completely the opposite. The more aware I am, the more I can communicate it and have language for it, the more people are like, oh, he's trustworthy. Part of me still doesn't get it. All right. Except that I've lived it and I know it and it's true. The second way that we earn trust, okay, is to be honest in communication. So let's go a little bit further into this final week. Now they're actually at the Passover celebration. This is from John 13, 2 through 10, okay? No, moved one too far. There we are. So, it says that Jesus was sharing this meal with his friends. It said the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. And that's the one to whom he who would betray Jesus. There's a lot going on in this passage, but I just want to focus on this one small aspect. Do you guys see how honest Jesus is? You see how frank and clear and open he is with Peter? Peter's like asking all these questions, and Jesus is just volleying back. Let me tell you the truth about how this is. That is indicative of a special relationship. I want you to think, how many relationships do you have the ability to have that open of communication with where you can just openly say, no, you're wrong? And not feel like it's going to come back on you somehow, like you're not going to have to pay some crazy consequence for it. Probably not very many. But Jesus had developed and earned trust, not through these all other means to be able to get here. He had started from the beginning with his friends being open and honest about who he was and what was going on in his life, and so they could be open and honest with what was going on in theirs. This kind of dialogue isn't rare with Jesus and his friends. And may it be the same for us, okay? That it shouldn't be rare. Hopefully it's not rare in our own lives. In my own life, one of the people that I've been able to have this really open dialogue with is sitting right there in the red sweater. It's Don Earl. Guys, if I could bring you into some of the fights that Don Earl and I have had, if I could go back and play tape on some of the things that I've said to him, never want to, thank God, it's not recorded. But if I could go back and play tape, you guys would be like, how'd we get here? How did this happen? How are you guys friends? Are you guys friends? We are friends. We've been friends. We've been friends in the midst of those kinds of dialogues. It's because we are friends that we could even have those kinds of dialogues. So many relationships that I've had, when I've said things that openly, you know what people said? Later. And you know what? I've done the exact same thing to them. But with Don Earl, it's been different. All the things that I have said, he's been willing to listen to, he's been willing to search through and try to get to the truth, why this is important, why this matters, why I'm feeling this way. He's an incredible listener. And he's been able to meet me and rebuke me and challenge me and offer me criticism. And together that's sharpened us. It's made us better, not worse. It's made our friendship deeper, our commitments deeper because we've gone through that. There might be somebody you need to have an honest conversation with. Maybe it's not today. Maybe it's not this week, but it might be coming up. And we're going to be talking about those kinds of tools to have these kinds of dialogues on Wednesday nights, especially in practicing. And I'd highly recommend being a part of it. So, again, Jesus was honest in his communication, speaking openly with those he considered friends. And finally, literally moments before he utters, love has none greater than this, than to lay down one life for his friends. He says this in John 15, 5 through 7. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown away into the fire and burned. They're worthless. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Jesus reveals this third aspect that not only was he available to be called through their entire friendship, he's still available to be called today. That is part of the gospel. That is good news, right? It is good news. You can call on him, and he's teaching us to be the same with each other, to be available to be called, offering to help with whatever our friends ask of us, the way that he did with whatever his friends asked from him. Now, I want to ask the band to come up. First of all, I want you guys, can you guys give a round of applause to the band? Not just because they do a great job, which they do. They really do. But also because they have proven themselves over and over again to be these kinds of committed friends. It's amazing when I hear about the rehearsals, when I see them come in at like early in the morning, far before like everybody else gets here to practice and work. They do what's asked of them. And as a result, trust grows. You guys have come to trust it. And come. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great moment to worship God. And it's not just the band. It's all the people. It's all of you who have made this place so incredible. I just want to highlight a few more people. I think about Josh Lindenberg back there on the computer. He's applying for this master's degree, and he asked me to write a letter of recommendation for him, and I was happy to do it because Josh, I don't even know how many of you guys know Josh, or if you guys even get to like see him. He's back there almost every week. And Josh hasn't just been back there for us here at Life Church Auburn Hills. When I was writing this letter of recommendation, I was start crying right now because I went back for 5 years, and every single thing that I've worked to start, Josh has had a hand in it. Whether it was work with international students, whether it was work with campus ministries at Oakland University, whether it was here, Josh has been there. He's like the first person I call when I'm like, I don't know how to get all this done at once. Like, Josh, I need you to start sifting through this. You know what? He doesn't ask for a lot from me back. He just says, okay. He's just available when I call. And there's so many people like Josh in this place. I think about Mies Hernandez and Tim Akers out at Mission Control. I think about Makisha Jones out there in Life Kids. All right, like, I think about Peter Waskevich out there today, like, in the parking lot. Who wanted to be in the parking lot today? There's Peter. The list goes on. I have a longer list. So, what does this mean for us? What can we do? What can we do to help form committed friendships in this new year? How can we start building this first block, right? How can we start doing that right now so that we can accomplish these goals of growing one more 3C friendship? Got four things for you. The first is to find people to whom we can confess our shortcomings. Again, for me, it's been a step study, a mentor, a therapist. Find that person. Meet with them. Share what you're struggling with. Number two, join a community group on Wednesday nights to learn how to communicate more honestly with each other in a safe environment. Trust me, it's not going to just benefit you here. It's going to benefit all of your relationships. Three, try to be available to one more person or task this week. Maybe there's been one thing, it's like, you know, I can't do a lot, but there's been one person asking me, I can do that one more thing. I can salt their driveway. I can shovel their sidewalk. Something to be available when you're called. Maybe it's volunteer here. And finally, this one I love, just to show up when you're invited. The more you just show up when you're invited, the more trust builds. There's actual scientific stuff behind that. We're going to talk about that in subsequent weeks. But I'm grateful that you showed up today because it shows how committed you are to come across that kind of ice from all different communities. Because we're not just Auburn Hills, although we're here. You got people driving in from Macomb. You got people, I mean, Josh drove in from Almont today to run slides. I mean, what you got, you guys are incredible. Southfield, it's unbelievable. And Jesus is inviting each of us to show up in 2020 and start growing his kingdom in ways that we haven't had a chance before. So I want to pray and then invite Donnell to come back up. Jesus, thank you for being present with us today. Thank you for showing us what it means to be committed to one another. By the way, you've been committed to us. You've never left us, you've never forsaken us, nor will you ever. And if there's anyone in here who doubts that today, Jesus, I ask that you would put that doubt to rest for them to be able to say, you know what, Jesus, it's okay. Yep, today's the day I want to trust you. I want to rededicate and build this new commitment with you, Jesus. If that's you today, you can just talk to him. Or maybe just fill it out in the back of that connection card and turn it in so that we can journey with you and be committed to you as well. Jesus, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for what you're about to do in this church, in this community. And we love you. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you want to learn more about us, visit us online at lifechurchauburnhills.org.